This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Finelli.
We're all set, cocked, and locked. Hour number two of USA Prepares. You know, Caligula was the third emperor of Rome. And he was reckless. And he was careless. And he spent Rome into oblivion. And in very, very, very small circles, it has been reported that Caligula is a saint. And Joe's favorite saint is Saint Caligula. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
thanks for the intro. I'm not sure the parallel.
Well, of course, I made that all up. Now, Caligula was the third emperor of Rome, and he just was out of control crazy in terms of spending and the things he did, his projects. I mean, he just spent the Roman Empire into oblivion, and he was one of the major causes for the downfall. And I'm thinking that, if he were a saint, and of course I made that up, Saint Caligula, but if he were a saint, he would be Joe's patron saint, because that's exactly what Joe is doing. And it's always the same thing. Just as an empire is about to fall, it's terror. Keep the people afraid. Keep them confused. Give them misinformation. Keep them off guard all the time. Lock them down. Have them absolutely terrified of terror from within. And that's exactly what he's doing. That's what Joe's doing. So that's why I mentioned that. But you've got other things to talk about. And I think they're fabulous. We're going to be talking about electric vehicles and how they operate and the advantages and pros and cons, etc. And you've got a dilemma that you're going to share with us, which I think is absolutely fascinating. So don't let me hold you up.
Yeah, so you know how this show works. I mean, you and I chatted a few days ago, and we were scratching our collective heads. What do we talk about for the show? And I go, Vin, I got to run. I'm taking my car down to the service center, and it's just doing strange things. And you asked me about it, and you said, you know, why don't we talk about that? And I go, oh, come on, listeners don't want to hear my problem. And you go, no, that's what the show's about. We talk about our issues, and if it's something you can share some insight into and help the audience, and, you know, maybe if they have similar problems or avoid pitfalls. So that's what led up to it. So I'm going to start, though, by just giving a backgrounder in what EVs are, and also what's known as PHEV, which is a hybrid. So we'll start with that, but then I'll get to what happened to my car and some other problems way worse than anything I faced with some other EV owners, and we'll take it from there.
I just have one comment. I have yet to see a Tesla in the slow lane.
Comments? I just had a Tesla in front of me 5 minutes ago, 5 minutes in my office.
Yeah, and he probably was behind you, you know, like 3 seconds before that, right?
No, he was just holding me up. I didn't notice, but most likely on the phone or something like that.
Yeah. So,
but yes, you're right. It's very rare. Typically that's a Prius, not the Tesla.
Okay. So please continue with this class. I think this is going to be absolutely fascinating. And by the way, I don't refer to USA Prepares as a show. I refer to it as a class. But all the other radio broadcasts are shows. You know, like the Rush Limbaugh show. You know, that's what he probably used to call it, or the Sean Hannity show, or the Michael Medved show, or you know, etc. To me, it's not a show, although we do prepare for it. It's a class. I just wanted to make that distinction. Go ahead, please continue.
Thank you, Principal. So, little backgrounder. So, basically, your regular car has a gasoline engine. I'm not going to get into how they work. I mean, and you conducted many classes talking about repairing cars and engines, and so. But let me start out and say that it's not very efficient. And, you know, in fact, we had a caller on my class last week was talking about an innovative way to maybe improve the efficiency. But typically, a gas engine car is only going to be 25, maybe 30% efficient at best. And that's basically because of heat loss. When you burn gasoline and you combust it and it pushes that piston up, that does create power, and that's usable power, and that's what makes everything move. But that power mostly goes into heat, into the cylinder wall and into the exhaust, and that heat is lost. In fact, well, that's why we got a cooling system and radiator to try and get rid of the heat so the engine doesn't burn up. So it's not very efficient. An electric car has an electric motor that just because we humans have gotten very good at building electric motors, those motors are 90% efficient. And even if you take into account that we got to generate electricity, deliver it to wherever you're charging your car from, let's subtract 10% for that. So even if we net that out at 80%, that's 80% versus 25%. So right off the bat, there's an inherent advantage in an electric car. And that's something that you can't get away from. You know, we'll talk later about some other alternatives to both gasoline and electricity, although, frankly, most of those alternatives, when you look at what you're burning, you're still ending up with an electric engine to power the wheel, and with very few examples. You know, the only example I can think of that doesn't go to an electric engine driving the wheels for anything very advanced would probably be the Flintstone car, which is a blast from the past, and that's human energy. But you always have an electric motor simply because they're so darn efficient. So an EV is all electric, just electricity, a battery pack, a motor, and that's it. Plug-in hybrid basically has a gasoline engine and an electric engine, and the reason for that is instead of having to need a massive bank of batteries, and there's, you know, downside to that, you can have smaller battery pack and the gas tank, and then basically use your gasoline engine to both generate power for the battery pack to power the electric motor, and then in high demand, for instance, when you press on the gas pedal, it'll also supply power to the wheels along with the electric motor. And so that car is probably more popular than the total EV only because it costs less to build it. And where is the efficiency? It's about halfway in between a pure EV and a gas engine. So basically, those are the two cars we see out on the road that have electric motors, the pure EV and the plug-in, or it doesn't even have to be plug-in, just the hybrid electric vehicle. But they all have batteries. You know, might be small battery in case of a hybrid, and it's typically a massive amount of batteries in the car for a pure EV. So they do have the efficiency problem. The biggest downside is the batteries. Batteries are expensive. They take up space. They're heavy. And frankly, we don't really know what to do with them when they're worn out. Where do we put them? And I think you've talked about this before. if we put them in landfills, we're just polluting the planet for future generations. So we got to solve that problem, too. I mean, if somebody could figure out how to recycle EV batteries and start a company to do that, I think they'd have a hit, because that's the biggest problem that EVs are facing on the planet right now.
Are you waiting for a comment?
A coffee.
Okay.
But
please continue. Yeah. I've got lots of comments, but I don't want to sidewobble the discussion. So please continue.
Oh, that's a good stopping point. So I mean, and you know, stopping at batteries. What do we do with them? You know, and also, by the way, how do we make them? Because we do have to mine lithium and some other rare earth elements, which. Coincidentally, a certain competitor country has cornered the market on mining some of those rare earth minerals. But that's a story for another class for another day.
All right, so let's sidewobble for just a second. So we had that dilemma here at the farm. And we have a solar array, and we generate electricity, and sometimes we want to store the electricity for overnight use when the sun's not shining on the solar panel, so we have a battery bank. And I went through all this, lead-acid batteries, lithium-ion, I went through a whole megilla of battery choices, and there's only one that makes sense economically, there's only one that makes sense for preservation of planet Earth, and that's the nickel-iron battery, because no one knows how long they last. And we're talking hundreds of years possible for this battery bank compared to whatever a lithium-ion battery bank may last. And all I have to do is take out the electrolyte and install new electrolyte, new liquid. And boom, they're working just like they were before when they were brand new. So, but why don't we do that for electric vehicles? Why don't we have batteries that last 100 years? I guess because then there would be less service. But I don't want to sidewobble us too much. But there is an answer. And the first electric vehicle from 1906 used nickel iron batteries. Back to you.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of energy density is my understanding of why we go to lithium. It's just a more efficient battery. And because we're facing such tremendous challenges in getting the weight down and the size down that they're kind of limited. I know there's many battery technologies. And if it's a battery for your house or for your solar backup where you have, you know, a lot more space where you can put the battery pack, I mean, you still like it small, but, I mean, you have more room versus in a car where, you know, if you have a lot of extra weight for the battery pack, you got to generate more power now to move around the weight, which is sort of counterproductive to why you have an electric car to begin with. Not to mention, you don't have much trunk. And, you know, in my current car, which is a plug-in electric hybrid, there's almost no trunk because it's basically retrofitting EV into an already existing model. And they, you know, they do put some batteries underneath, but pretty much most of them go into what was the trunk. So that's basically the issue on why we're limited into the battery technologies for cars.
Okay, please continue. I could sidewobble us so easily, but I'm trying my very best not to do that.
But when we come back, I'll talk about what happened to my car.
Okay, but you know, since we have a few seconds remaining of the segment, I want a trunk. I want to have a trunk to put, you know, things that I buy in. I just don't want to have passenger room in the vehicle. I want a trunk. Actually, I want a truck. We'll be right back.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100 the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
An important message from Byram Healthcare. If you live with diabetes, you know how challenging and painful it can be to manage your blood sugar. With private insurance, Medicare, or Medicaid, that can all change. If you test your blood sugar 4 or more times a day and inject insulin 3 or more times a day, you may qualify to receive at little or no cost, less copays and deductibles, a continuous glucose monitor, providing blood sugar readings with no uncomfortable finger sticks. That alerts you in real time to potential spikes with your blood sugar levels. Byram Healthcare is a leading U.S. provider of continuous glucose monitors. We carry most major brands and will work with your insurance to get your benefits approved. So if you have diabetes, call a U.S.-based Byram Healthcare specialist now and see if you qualify.
800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. 800-535-6078. That's 800-535-6078.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Works with us. And just to recap class very quickly. So there's two kinds of electric fields. One is an all-electric vehicle that runs only on electricity. The other is a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle that you can plug in and charge it from your home, let's say, and you fill it with gasoline to overcome the inability for the electric motor to produce as much energy to accelerate quickly and climb hills, you know, big hills and things like that. So those are the two main kinds. And I just want to say one other thing. How much electricity does one of these electric vehicles use? About when you go to charge one from, let's say we're empty and you charge it to full, it could use 100 kilowatts. Now, our solar system at our farm has produced record numbers of kilowatts per day. And the number that we hit was 51 kilowatts. So let's say 50 kilowatts on a record day. It would take 2 days' worth of electricity from our solar arrays to charge like a Tesla, fully charged, if it were empty to charge it to full. So we can run our farm on our solar array, but it would take 2 days of shutting off the whole farm and devoting all of our electricity to charge a Tesla. It would take 2 days to charge it from empty to full. Okay, that being said, Bert, please continue with your story. I just wanted to put this in perspective so they know what you're going to say.
Yeah, and I think I could, by the way, give the class a little better perspective on that. It is probably, if it's an all EV, it is the biggest user of electricity you know, maybe next to your air conditioning. But think of it this way. Think of it as you were running your stove nonstop, you know, not like clicking off when it got to 400 degrees, but running it nonstop for hours at a time. Because it's pretty typical. Stove uses a 40-amp circuit. Your EV charging uses a 40-amp circuit. So think of running your oven for, you know, 6 or 8 hours straight. That's what it's like. That said, it's still less than the cost. It's still way less than the cost of gasoline for the same amount of energy, and that energy is used more efficiently in an electric motor. So, but that ties into the issue I had. So, the because the electricity is typically more expensive during the day at night, and that's what I have, is most EV owners, you get a time of use meter. And in my case, during the summer in California, the difference in cost is about 6 times higher if I charge the car at peak hours, typically during the day, the afternoon, versus after midnight. And, you know, roughly, let's say 10 cents a kilowatt hour versus 60 cents a kilowatt hour. So all of a sudden, you know, about a month ago, I noticed my electric bill had gone up. And I'm thinking, what's going on? And I'm scratching my head. And I'm thinking, well, you know, because I can actually see during what time of day for each day that the way the bill is printed out. And so I go, let me take another look at my car and see how the timer's working. You know, I'm pretty sure I programmed it correctly and, you know, it had been working fine. So I look at it and sure enough, it's got some kind of glitch where it's all programmed correctly, but yet every time I plug the charging cable in, it immediately was starting to charge. So I go, man, that's what's costing me all this electricity, and I wish I had found it earlier, because, you know, I'd come home from work or come home from shopping or whatever during the day, plug the car in thinking it's going to charge at midnight, but instead it was charging immediately. Typically, that was peak hours. And I was worried that the electric company was going to come knocking on my door wondering why all of a sudden my electric use went up. Because believe me, in California, they do those kind of things. It happened to me once when I was watering a new sod lawn. The water company knocked on my door and said, we want to see if you have a leak in your water system, which I tried to explain. No, I just put some new sod down and I'm trying to keep it healthy so, you know, it doesn't dry up and lose it. So to make a long story short, I figured, well, I can solve this. It's just programming. So I tried my darndest to get it to program, and it wouldn't. So I go, okay, software update. I must have gotten a bad update. So, well, software update go through Wi-Fi, but the problem is every time you drive away, the Wi-Fi connection's lost to the car. So that was going really slow, and in any case, it wasn't helping. So I said, let me call for technical support. I'm an engineer. I'm sure that we can figure this out together.
All right, hold that thought. We're going into a break.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fork in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line Tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A federal judge on Friday will consider whether Texas can leave in place the heartbeat abortion law. In place in September, banning most abortions after 6 weeks when the baby's heartbeat is detected. A lawsuit filed by the Biden administration seeks to strike down Senate Bill 8, which narrowly passed muster with the U.S. Supreme Court. President Biden has signed a stopgap bill passed earlier by Congress ahead of the midnight deadline to avoid forcing the U.S. government to shut down due to lack of funding. House of Representatives passed the stopgap measure 254 yeas to 175 nays. This will fund the government through December 3rd. Europe's first mission to Mercury arrives at its destination in the coming hours. It will be a short visit for now. The BepiColombo probe is moving too fast to go into orbit and will fly straight by the planet. It'll take about 8 U-turns and should be slowed enough to make stable orbit in late 2025. USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
In a bipartisan hearing Thursday, Facebook executives were grilled about their product, Instagram, and its harm to our children. Democrat Senator Ed Markey from Massachusetts.
Facebook is just like big tobacco, pushing a product that they know is harmful to the health of young people, pushing it to them early. Also, Facebook can make money.
Republican Senator Marsha Blackburn from Tennessee slams the executives for knowing the harm it is creating.
You knew this was there. You knew it was there. But you didn't do anything about it.
Heritage Foundation fellow Kara Frederick on Fox News says this could force lawmakers to alter Section 230 that provides immunity from civil liabilities to social media platforms.
Early on, lawmakers were saying giving kids an Instagram or a Facebook product is like giving them a lit cigarette and hoping that they stay addicted for life. I saw nothing that changed my mind about that in this hearing yesterday. In fact, it really only underscored the fact that Facebook, they don't care about you, they don't care about your family, they don't care about your health. They care about three things, and that's their bottom line, growth at all costs, and their brand and reputation. And right now, it's that growth factor that is worrying them. They are really worried about their competitors in Snapchat, in TikTok, so they are trying to target your tweens. I think they're afraid. They're afraid of that young demographic. They're not getting the right demographic that's going to contribute to their growth.
I'm Lance Pry, and we are USA Radio News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
It's gonna be sliding.
Under today's hot.
Keep it. You've got your.
Take my.
When you go.
For 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Bert's with us, and so he was telling us about his electric or hybrid vehicle and the software that was causing his electrical cost to increase 6x. Bert, please continue.
Yeah, so I got on the phone with Ford Technical Support, and I figured, okay, we'll figure this out. So talked to the guy. Actually, believe it or not, the first guy I got was versed enough to know what to do, which maybe it's a hint this problem has occurred before. So he goes, okay, we're going to reset your front panel. So I go, oh, man, that's going to wipe out probably some of my programming, right? He goes, yeah, you might lose some radio stations and stuff. And so we do that. no effect, didn't affect anything. He goes, okay, well, you need a hard reset. I go, man, that's going to wipe out even more stuff, like, you know, everything I've been programming and setting up. And he goes, yeah, but, you know, you can re-enter all that stuff. So I go, okay. So, you know, I'm on the phone with him while I'm in the car, and we do the deed and do the hard reset, and takes a while, and the car regurgitates, and it comes up, and sure enough, the scheduling for charging is still locked. He goes, well, you know what? You're going to have to take the car in for service. And I go, damn, I mean, how, we got to have been able to solve that. So anyway, I scheduled, got the next day to bring the car in, which was nice, and everybody was courteous and brought it in and left it there. And he goes, yeah, it's probably, you know how it is now when you bring in a warranty car, you still got to sign off that you're going to pay the, you know, $200 or whatever it is service charge to figure out what it is. And then if it is warranty, you won't owe anything, but you're committing because sometimes it's not warranty, I suppose, and that's kind of a gray area in many cases. But anyway, to kind of cut to the chase, I drop off the car, and they call me up a few hours, and Mr. Bertonis, your car's already. And I go, well, what was the problem? He goes, well, we're not really sure, but we fixed it. And I go, what'd you do? He goes, well, you know, we did all the resets like you had already done, but we had to do them ourselves. But then we did an even harder reset. We pulled the cable off the battery and reconnected it. And seems like everything's working properly now. I go, man, I didn't see that in the manual. And he goes, no, it's something we do. And I go, well, what happened if it happens again? Do I get a new module? He goes, no, we'll try something else, meaning probably it'll do the same thing. But I was kind of taken aback that the same thing we do for our cable modem at home or our wireless router, pull the plug out, that's what ended up fixing my car, which kind of was a little bit humorous there. But that was a week ago, and so far, so good that less than a week ago, it was earlier this week. Everything seems to be holding up, so cross fingers. But don't you think that's interesting? With all the computers in your car and everything going on, and believe me, there's a lot of microprocessors in a modern day car. The solution is to unplug it from the battery and plug it back in.
Well, you know, Bert, that's a real common fix. And you know that we have an automotive shop here, and a lot of times the transmission control computer gets confused, the engine control computer gets confused, the other computers on the computer bus get confused, and that is the go-to solution for automobiles, literally. Now, it's a little different. We're not dealing with 300 volts or 280 volts, for a battery bank on an electric vehicle or a hybrid, but we're dealing with, 13.2 volts and just a regular 12-volt battery, and that is the answer. And as a matter of fact, we have another answer. So what we do is we disconnect the battery, and then we have a headlight, an old-fashioned headlight, like you'd see from 1950s, 60s, 70s, a sealed beam headlight. And we have two alligator clips, and we attach that headlight across the positive cable that has been disconnected. So you disconnect the positive cable from the battery, or you disconnect the negative, either one. Probably safer to disconnect the negative. And then because your wrench, if your wrench is on the positive cable and you hit something that's metal ground, you'll have a big spark. So if you disconnect the negative, it's probably a lot safer for most people. So then you just connect from the positive cable to the, what you want to do is you want to have a headlight drain the computers. So put a resistive load across the computers to fully drain the computer. So probably the best way to do it would be disconnect both cables positive and negative, and then put that headlight across the positive and negative cables when they're not touching the car. That's probably the best way to do it for most people. And just leave it like that for a couple minutes, and it will fully drain the computer's capacitors, and then you'll have a real good reboot. And that's probably what the guys did at the shop, because we do it. We do it here. And you know, I just wanted to share another story with you. That so for technical support, they can't figure it out. They don't know what to do. And they're certainly not going to tell you to do that, because they're, you know, the lawyer said, whatever you do, don't talk about disconnecting the battery. I'm sure that's what it is. I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure. So yeah. this is class action suit material, really. And so I'm going to send a copy of this broadcast to the lawyer who came to our farm to look at the damage that was done by the Citgo Orslin fraud, which was selling liquid classified and advertised as lubricant for tractors, and it really wasn't. So it did a lot of damage to a lot of farmers. So I know this lawyer. So I'm going to send him a copy of this broadcast, and he may begin a class action suit against Ford, and I hope he does. And there's one other thing. I know this family who lives in Long Island on the East Coast, just off New York City. And the company that one of the employees worked for said, here's a vehicle for you to come back and forth to work. This was one of those perks that big corporations sometimes give their employees. And so this person's a manager and gets one of these Chevrolet Volt electric vehicles. And they plug it in, and their electric bill went from $200 to $2,000 a month. And the electric vehicle would sometimes run out of current and would not make it all the way to work in New York City, from Long Island to New York City. So the operator of this electric vehicle said, I want a gas vehicle. This is ridiculous. $2,000 electric bill. I just want a good old-fashioned gas car. And they said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll just pay your electric bill. $2,000 electric bill from $200 to $2,000. That's $1,800 a month to charge this silly thing. Now, I know for a fact that the commute from Long Island 5 days a week to New York City does not cost $1,800 a month in gasoline. I just wanted to share that with you. So, do you think that electric vehicles are, you know, the answer for California, you know, considering that California has brownouts? Do you think that it is a good, viable solution for most people?
You know, I'm going to surprise you and say, despite all the problems, and we're going to talk about some amazing problems in the time we have left, but I still think it's the way to go, and we just have to work out the bugs, and we'll do that. I mean, we'll do it. But yes, only because they're so much more efficient. Where, you know, if we can use less electricity for everything else, we'll have the electricity we need to charge our cars, and we are building chargers and stuff. It is better for the environment. It's better for the planet. Again, if we can solve what we do with the batteries, and it's just, you know, if you believe in global warming, and I think there's evidence man has been warming the planet over the past 100 years slightly, but you know, maybe significant. Electric cars really, I think they do have a lot to offer, and I think if we started from scratch, you know, 150 years ago, and we knew what we know now, we probably would never have built gasoline cars to begin with. That's what I believe.
But we did. In 1906, the early days of the automobile, we did have an electric car.
Yeah, we just didn't have good enough batteries. The engines actually were not that different, the motors actually, with electric motors were not that much different than today, but we have a little better electronics to control a lot better electronics to control how the electric motors work, and batteries really were not very, it would be like using D cells to power your car back then. So, but then I want to talk about some amazing problems, mostly with pure EVs because they use more batteries. But I want to tell some stories of why you need, especially if you drive an all-electric car, you need to be careful because the car can catch fire on its own. Amazing stories. May 3rd, guy in San Francisco parked his car, wasn't even charging it, and set his garage on fire, and the car was not plugged in. The fire department had to drag it out of the garage so they didn't set the whole house on fire, and they caught it in time. Most amazing story, and there's hundreds of these stories, Antwerp, Belgium, a guy checks into his hotel in his Tesla, pulls out his suitcase, goes to check in, comes back, his car's totally on fire. He did plug it into a charger, but comes back to check on his car, I guess get, you know, another suitcase out. His car's on fire, and the fire was so bad, and the firemen were so concerned, they end up dragging the car, lifting it on a crane, and dumping it into a container of water where they left it overnight. I guess that car was toast, or because they were so concerned that they didn't get the fire out, because, you know, water doesn't always work on an electric fire. But if you drop it in, if you drop it into a container of water, that probably sooner or later will put out the fire. So, unfortunately, there's bugs in Teslas, and they do spontaneously, even when you're not charging them, catch on fire, pretty much because of the intense heat that goes on inside those batteries. And not so much a problem for the plug-in hybrids or regular hybrids that don't even plug in, because the batteries are much smaller. But they catch on fire.
So one of those gasoline tanker trucks might hold somewhere around 10,000 gallons of water. I'm talking about one of those great big 18-wheeler trucks that you see hauling gasoline. It's been reported on the Internet that that is not enough water to put out some of these electric vehicle fires. When the battery bank gets on fire, it might take 20,000 gallons to put out one of these fires, or more. It's an enormous amount of water. And my understanding from elementary school science was that sodium, the element, can burn in water. So, you know, water may not be able to put out a fire. If you submerge a battery in it, you can certainly reduce the heat generated by the chemical reaction in the battery bank. But it may not actually put the fire out completely. So these are really big problems that you're discussing, Bert. Absolutely big. Because gasoline you can put out with water, and diesel also.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Forked in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fork in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com. No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert, this has been a fascinating discussion. And, you know, over the years we've had computers, personal computers, that just get stuck. And the answer is just power them off and power them back on, and they seem to be, you know, a lot of times they come right back to life. Same thing with the modem routers for the internet. You talk to a technician, they'll say exactly what your guy from Four Tech Support on the phone said. Okay, let's do a soft reset. Let's do a hard reset. And, you know, the hard reset, you lose a lot of the programming, absolutely no question about it. So, and then when you brought your vehicle into the service people, which was the final say of how to fix this vehicle, they couldn't fix it. All they could do was stop the symptom at that moment. And it sounds to me like you were saying, yeah, okay, so you don't know exactly why we had the problem, and all you did was disconnect the battery, and it seems to be okay now, but what about tomorrow? What about the next day? Is this going to continue? And the answer that I read between the lines as you were discussing it is Ford technicians on site that had their hands on your vehicle really didn't know. They absolutely did not know the answer. And then the other thing I wanted to share with the class is that we're finding that here at the shop and at the farm, automatic transmissions get confused. And sometimes they get confused because the battery, it does not provide enough current. It does not have enough voltage for the transmission control computers to work. So transmissions don't shift properly, and you think it's got to be the transmission when it can be something as simple as the battery is near the end of life or close to near the end of life. No kidding. Seriously, Bert, your comments.
Yeah, so you're correct about Ford, and I will say they were very courteous, and the guy, you know, I give the guy kudos for being straightforward and told me what he did. They're not hiding anything. And by the way, I love the car otherwise. It's a Ford Fusion Energy. They don't make it anymore because Ford does not build cars anymore. You know, maybe they'll change that someday, but right now they're just building trucks and the Mustang, the new Mustang. I don't know, it's almost half truck. But that's it. No more cars for Ford. But I do like the car. I want to put this in perspective. I think it is a very well-built car, and probably they're not the only EV manufacturer facing these computer problems. So, it's a problem that they don't know about. I mean, not as bad as, remember there was a Toyota problem where the car would just accelerate no matter what you did. I'm absolutely convinced, I had studied that problem, that that was a software glitch, and they wouldn't quite admit what it was, but it was a software glitch, and many people died because those Toyotas just took off on their own, and you couldn't stop them.
Well, I know there was a problem with Audi, the Audi 5000, I think it was back in the 1980s, and people would be backing out of the garage, and boom, all of a sudden it would just take off, and Audi disavowed any involvement in that, and they said, "Nah, we didn't do it." And actually, they did. So you're absolutely right. So here we have electric vehicles on the road, and lots more every day. Bert, are you concerned about driving one of them in a lightning storm?
No, I don't think it's any more dangerous than any other car in a lightning storm. I mean, it's not the external factors that are causing these problems. It's internal that they have to solve, you know, how to keep battery temperatures down, things like that. And real quick, in the minute or so we have left, you know, let's talk about the future. And people have thrown out things like natural gas and hydrogen and stuff. The interesting thing is almost all of those car technologies still depend on having an electric motor and batteries. The exception might be natural gas, and the reason that has some proponents is because, not because it's any more efficient than gasoline, but we have an abundance of natural gas in the United States, and it could be cheaper. But all the other technologies, for instance, hydrogen, what hydrogen does is the hydrogen powers a generator that then creates electricity for an electric motor. So it's still electric. You just have a tank full of hydrogen, though, to power it. So think of it as kind of like a hybrid. And then, of course, there's the president's task force that's come up with pedaling car. They're calling it the Flintstone car, and we'll see if that takes off or not. And
now, Bert, in all seriousness, I have an answer right here at the farm. No kidding.
Sure.
So, there was a guy that had an ad on Craigslist, and he was selling a propane tank. And he was selling the regulator to replace the carburetor. So an 80-gallon propane tank, all the plumbing, hoses, and the regulator to just sit under your carburetor or replace the carburetor. I have everything I need to convert a gasoline-carbureted engine to run on propane. And this guy had it, and it was running. He drove it all the way from Texas. He bought the thing, and it was working on propane, and he couldn't wait to dump the propane tank and move it to gasoline. I couldn't believe it.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And they make those. And you can look it up, class. Look up propane conversion.
Also natural gas conversion, too.
Well, liquefied natural gas. Liquefied natural gas, it'll run on it. So, great, great class, Bert. I really appreciate your insight. And I hope you get this problem solved. But I bet Ford is scratching their heads and they really don't know what to do. And thank you so much for being in class. I'll see you next week, next Friday, hour number 2.
Thanks, everyone.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.